welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for your belief and your trust in us. And thank you so much for your support, your prayers, your word of mouth. Tell someone about the show. Follow us on social networking. We really appreciate all of that. We're watching carefully all of the news, everything that's taking place. We're just watching everything, the backstory behind everything. And passing the information and our analysis of the same on to you. And again, we appreciate your counting us worthy to be in your homes, in your cars, yeah, on your computers. And
just a brief update. Sure. We talked about the New Zealand earthquake, the 7.8 earthquake that struck, I believe it was yesterday. There continues to be aftershocks, and there was just a 5.4 aftershock in the last few minutes. So the situation there continues to be touch and go as strong aftershocks continue 24 hours after the initial quake.
My goodness. You know, are we seeing signs as told? Are we seeing signs in the heavens and on the earth? And
Stan talks about this, and we talked about this with Stan from Listener Questions, the relation of full moons and especially the supermoon that we have, how these affect fault lines. We know that they affect the tides. The moons affect the tides,
right?
And they can affect the magnetic field. But what effect do these moons or supermoons have on the fault lines, and if any at all? And not only did we see the 7.8 earthquake in New Zealand this weekend, we also saw 6.2 in Argentina and a number of high 5.0 earthquakes from the Alaska region all across the Ring of Fire. So there might be a relation to this, you know, super moons or full moons or special kind of moons and special lunar cycles and the movement of fault lines here on Earth.
Well, yeah, it's something to keep our eyes on for sure. And it's interesting too, on the, in political news, I suppose, we've come a long way since Dragnet, haven't we? You know, Joe Friday, Gannon, Dragnet, Los Angeles police chief Charlie Beck said that today, hey, I got no plans. We have no plans to change our stance on immigration enforcement. I don't care what Trump says. We ain't doing nothing. We're not going to cooperate. So we're seeing, again, that theme of lawlessness continue. The legacy of Barack Hussein Obama will be one of lawlessness, will be one of debauchery, will be one of moral and spiritual bankruptcy, will be one of just setting the Middle East afire, ablaze. That's going to be Obama's legacy. And so, too, will it be Hillary's legacy as well. And I do, we cannot put our faith in one man, only one man, of course. I'm talking about Donald Trump. We have to make change from the bottom up, and of course, our faith has to lie only in one place, and that's with the God of the Holy Bible. And before we get back to the callers, if you haven't done so already, man, you just got to try this. Got to grab go to greeninnovative.com or go to HagmanReport.com and check the link for Greeninnovative. They're a small company in Florida. Alan Riggs created this. I don't know how he did it, but it's the neatest thing ever. It's called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water. Folks, if you haven't seen this, if you don't have one, you have to get yourself one. I got a note from Mr. Riggs. They're selling out quick, and it's hard to keep in stock. So if you're thinking about doing something for the holidays, this is great for preppers, man. This is fantastic. It's the Super G-Mag battery recharger with these replaceable magnesium power bucks. The Super G-Mag charger will charge 6 AA or AAA rechargeable batteries in about 3 hours. And you get about 20 charges with the power bucks. And you can charge your cell phone. It does everything. You don't need sun. You don't need a hand crank. You don't need a little gerbil. You don't need any of that. just ordinary table salt, about 2 teaspoons worth, a little water, shake it for a few seconds, and bang, you get yourself a battery charger. This is affordable, lightweight, it's durable, it's EMP proof, it's environmentally friendly, it'll provide convenient and safe power, for recharging 6 AA or AAA batteries off the grid when other power sources are not available, folks. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative. Green like the color, IVATIVE, greenovative.com, or go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link, and use our promo code, that's right, Hagman, just use our promo code Hagman, and get 10% off your entire order. Folks, it's not too early to order for Christmas. What an amazing lifetime gift. That's greenovative.com, promo code Hagman.
And who knows, it could save your life, or absolutely could save your life in the right situation. Battery recharger, you never know when you might need that.
And you know what, if you're listening to this and you see Alan Riggs at one of the vendor places, that
trade show,
yeah, whatever. Look them up. Say I know you because of the Hagman Report. Anyway, just you don't have to. Okay, you don't have to. Follow Eric the Tech. Real Tech Eric. That's right, on Twitter. He needs friends.
Yeah, he's lonely. He's a lonely guy. We're going to go back to the phones if you want to weigh in. We're taking calls for the rest of the show, the next 50 minutes.
Except
at 844-769-2944. We're going to go to Joe in California. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey. I'll make this pretty quick. I wasn't going to call, but I heard the end of what you said in your report, Mr. Doug Hagman, about Syria and oil. I called about 9 months ago, maybe a year ago, and because I found something about Joe Biden's son named Hunter Biden. Biden works for Gazprom, and they're in the Ukraine, and he's like a CEO or one of the mucky mucks. And he, along with a guy named Devin Archer, they were roommates at Yale. You tell me what else is going on at Yale, Skull and Bones. Because they were also roommates with Christopher Hines, who is John Kerry's stepson, and we know John Kerry is also a Yale Bonesman. So I'm calling BS on all these people, because all you need is Wikipedia and half a brain, and you've got them pegged. So like I said, that's all I got, and I just wanted to add to what you said at the end of your report.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and that's not the end. That's just kind of the stopping point of chapter one, or the introduction. But yes. Okay. So Hunter Biden, just real quickly, Hunter Biden, and, you mentioned, Hines, of course. And who's the other gentleman you mentioned?
Devin Archer, D-E-V-O-N Archer. And, all three of those guys, they were somehow associated at the school, whether they were roommates, fraternity buddies. I mean, you know how that goes when you're in college.
Yep.
But they all, and I think the Devin guy also works there at Gazprom. Now, they're sitting there in the Ukraine, and as we all know, especially avid listeners to you guys and other truther shows, this is this is what the whole hubbub is there, because they're trying to reach Syria, and it's not working out for whatever reason, whether it's because of Russia. Somebody's getting in the way of something, and I think that's why they're hitting the panic button these days.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
Brother, thank you, man.
Give it to you. Yeah, hey, keep up the good work. You guys rule. Later.
Joe, thank you. Have a great night. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
We have next Shannon in Oregon. Shannon, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Well, hello there, guys. How's it going?
Hi. Hey, it's going great now that you're on the line. What's up?
Well, thank you. Well, I'll try to make this quick. First of all, I'm very relieved that Hillary didn't make it. I was really glad, and I'm sure so many people were, because I think she would have just put an end to our country so quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like to do research, and I wanted to have good feelings about Trump, and I'm not saying that I still don't, but there is a little factoid here, and I'll just throw it out there for you. Were you aware that he and Hillary both had attended it's an annual Jesuit banquet? I can't remember where it was. I'm sure it was close by. It was after the third debate.
And, are you talking about the Alfred? You're not talking about the Alfred Smith dinner, are you?
I don't know the name of it. The Cardinal of New York was there.
Yeah.
Timothy.
Yeah,
that's.
Yeah, that.
We talked about that on the show, and we.
That's where Hillary stumbled, and he was.
He made a lot of jokes.
Yes.
And really.
Yeah. Well, did you hear what he said in his little speech when he said that he said we need to stand up against anti-Catholic bias?
Well,
and he also praised the attending religious leaders. He said that, you know, their example, he said, we need to follow all of their fine examples. And my main point of bringing this up is that whenever I hear Jesuit, my red flags go up, because I really still believe that what is going on, the Pope is at the very core of everything, and he likes to stand in the shadows and not take the heat for what is going on. But the Vatican absolutely loves all this, the civil unrest. You know, years ago, they used the Islamic nation after they created it, basically the Jesuits created it. They used the Islamic nation to kill Christians, and I think they're still going to do that. They're still going to use Islam as their sword.
In their quest to create a single globalist religion, they're going to have to really whittle down all three monotheistic religions, take Jesus out of Christianity, take Muhammad out of Islam, and but mm-hmm. I understand this.
Tear down every god.
Right, and make, yeah, it's going to be a state god.
Self god.
Well,
basically, I still think this is counter reformation. They said at the Council of Trent, I can't remember when that was, if it was 1300 AD, they declared, that might be too early, I don't remember, but they declared counter reformation, and they don't forget. They don't take it back. They want to get back the power they lost during the Reformation. So they're trying to get all their daughters, all the churches, to come back to Mother.
Right. Okay. And I understand. Yeah, I see where you're headed with this. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you, okay, except now. Yeah, I mean, it's a surprise to learn. I don't know if you know this, but I attended and graduated from a minor seminary, a Jesuit seminary. Okay, but I was a young man. I have to tell you this. I had no idea whatsoever about the Jesuits. Nothing. And in fact, all my adult life, pretty much, never really understood anything. And now I do. So,
and the counter reformation you were talking about, stemming from the council, beginning with the Council of Trent, started in 1545.
Right. Yeah,
15. I was thinking. Okay, yeah, they declared counter reformation. They want to get back the power that what they lost and was taken from them during the Reformation. During the Reformation is what brought back the middle class. There was always only two classes of people: the uppers, the elite,
serfs,
and the peasants.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so the middle class was brought back during the Reformation, and we have it now thanks to the Bill of Rights. There probably wouldn't have been a middle class either. The Vatican does not want a middle class. Oh, no, 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 no. So it's the same
comment. I mean, it's the same. Yeah, the globalists don't. Exactly. So, I mean, we're talking, yeah, I think we can all agree that the modeling of the One World Order is the same, just different, different agendas, slightly different agendas, slightly different plans, methods to get there. Mm-hmm. So you're correct.
So kind of just, it makes, I want to still feel good, and I'm going to keep, let him, give him a chance. I am concerned that he already is saying, you know, he likes the Clintons. He said that on, what it was, the 60 Minutes, that they're nice people. He doesn't want to hurt him. I told that to my son, and my son made a good point. He said, well, Mom, you know, maybe he's waiting to get in office first. You know,
yeah,
makes sense.
Who knows? I mean, you can't
before
go in there with. Yeah, exactly. And I would urge, look, we're going to be on him as well. I mean, you know, keeping his feet to the fire as Savage is doing. But I mean, we'll call it like we see it as well. We should.
I just thought the Jesuit thing was interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is interesting.
If you're kowtowing to the Catholic Church, it's like, oh God, I don't know. I know his father and his grandfather were both Masons, and he'd been attending that dinner that you mentioned, you knew the name of it. He'd been attending that since he was a child. Yep, since he was a child. Yeah.
Right.
But in conclusion, though, just to make this call shorter so that other callers can get in there, I did feel good about how he seems very committed to Israel. So the chances, I think, of him dividing Israel while he's in office are very slim. At least I hope so, because, you know, God is going to put his foot down if he did that.
Yeah, I don't think. He might even move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. There's talk of that. Who knows?
Mm.
But certainly, I don't think he's gonna be dividing Israel at all, or Jerusalem. At least not. I don't believe so. But what do I
know? I'll end with one little fact, one little thing. This is kind of interesting. There was an Asian preacher. He's very articulate. It's really nice to look. I can't remember his name on YouTube. And he did some research on Donald, on his name, and he said that Donald is Celtic for ruler of the world. So, I just thought, isn't that something? Yeah, his mother was a MacLeod, so his mother was Scottish.
Okay.
So it's a Celtic name, but the Donald together means the ruler of the world, Celtic. Okay, so anyway, that's about it, guys, and I love the show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Shannon. You have a good night.
You too.
Eric the tech just said, I'm going to start calling you the Doug. So, anyway.
We got Jeremy, Mike, then Tom. We're going to go to Jeremy in Michigan. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Doug and Joe, my two favorite investigative reporters.
Thanks, brother.
How's it going?
It's good, man. It's good. Hey, you know what? Let's give it up for Eric the Tech, huh? He does a good job. He really does. We need to, he needs a mic up. Mic up, Eric.
Thank you.
There you
see?
Go.
I'm on him all the time.
He's mic shy.
Let's just get him on, huh? He'd be a good addition once in a while. I'm gonna make this quick. I just want to call in. You know, I'm like the biggest listener of the Hagman and Hagman out here in Michigan, so I freaking love everything you guys say, and there's just, you know, I'm 24 years old, and I just got to mention this, man, as going through this election and everything, we have a serious liberal disease problem going on with my generation, and I'm just going to say that right now, because, in my city right now, I mean, I live in a city called Lake Orion, and it just happens to be the most liberal city, you know, and so I see this happening with all my friends, but you know, it's a problem nationwide that we see, you know, in the inner cities and around our college campuses, you know, in our universities. And it's seriously a problem that I think is it's part of an agenda. I think it comes in, you know, there seems to be a root with these types of, you know, these pro-life, these, you know, the gender identities, these type of ideologies are the byproduct of falling away from God and having no biblical foundation, or, you know, that's the common denominator with a lot of these people. They absolutely hate Christ. You know what I mean? They mock me for my religion and things like that. And I just think that this is a big problem, but I think a lot of it stems to they've infiltrated our educational system, you know. So I just want to applaud you tonight for your being on the front lines of being Christian conservative, standing up for what's morally right, and we can just bask in this win right now. I know Trump isn't everything, but we can definitely, you know, bask in the safeness of knowing that we're going to have pro-life Supreme Court, you know, Supreme Court judges, and that I feel like a miracle happened to give America one last chance to kind of, you know what I mean, be on the right track, and you guys are on the forefront of that. So I just want to applaud you in that, and thank you. And that's
well,
really
you.
It, man. So
thanks, yep. I appreciate that. We appreciate that.
All right, thanks.
Thank
guys.
You. God bless, Brent.
Yep.
You know what, folks, and I hope, I really hope, folks, that I'd like to think, and I said this before, as humbly as possible, I like to think that maybe we had something to do with this. But
I think any media outlet that was not pushing the created narrative had something to do with it and played their part.
But I also want to make sure that with this, what this is good. And I mean, as good as it could be on an earthly basis. In other words, you know what I mean.
What the one caller, Mary Ellen, said is the relief she felt when she knew that Trump won. And I wonder how much of that relief is, you know, realizing that Hillary Clinton was not going to be the president versus, you know, relief that or happiness that Trump had won. I think most people, at least if you're like me, you were just happy Hillary Clinton was not going to be in that position of power.
Yeah, and I hope nothing happens.
With Donald Trump, another caller alluded to the states' rights. We have an opportunity here to try to move things back towards a more statewide or local type of power sharing situation, the way that it should be, with, you know, the federal government and each individual state having powers, but none, you know, the state superseding the federal government is how it was set up and how it should be. And if we can get back to that, we have an opportunity to do a lot. And I think a lot's also one concern I have about Trump. It goes both ways, because he has a number of corporations, but he also understands the corporate greed and the application of a corporation being able to be a person legally, and the damage that that does to our economy and can do to our economy, especially with a lot of these trade deals that go through and have gone through in the past. Now, if Trump sticks to his word and fights against trade, China came out today and said that there's going to be a battle over iPhone production. If Trump decides to, you know, change
the tariff
stipulations
structure
on trade, right?
Yep.
And I think that's something that he understands. And from what I read so far, one story that I came across that was very interesting that was related to trade. Apparently, a Ford plant is moving back from Mexico to Ohio. I don't know if you folks remember this, but Trump made some statements early on after the primaries, he won the nomination, about how he was going to penalize companies that, you know, kept their jobs overseas, their factory manufacturing jobs overseas, and provide tax breaks for them if they come back to the United States, and punish them via taxes for keeping their companies overseas. Well, it looks like some of these companies are going to have to come back as well, as long as Trump keeps his word for taxing a lot of these companies. So it should be interesting to see his appointments and to see what he does on the first 100 days in office after he is inaugurated. That's something that Dave Hodges and I talked about yesterday on the Common Sense Show. Again, I was on there the first hour with him, and we covered a lot of ground. Now we have a number of callers still, and there's still time to weigh in. We got four callers in the queue right now, and the order we're going to take those in is Mike, Tom, Junior, and Jeremy. two first-time callers in there, Mike and Junior. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, tomorrow, while we have a minute before we go to the break, we have in the first hour Tim Alberino and Steve Quayle.
Right.
And then we have host of No Compromise Radio, Mike Abendroth. Susan Heck. She's memorized the entire New Testament and teaches women's ministry. We're going to have a great show for you tomorrow. And
when memorize we come back, the entire New Testament.
Yeah,
when we I've come got back, to write Mike my name Tom. And address on my underwear.
on your car door. And it looks like Giuliani, the appointments Trump has made, again, Rents Priebus, head of the Republican Party, now apparently going to be the chief of staff to Trump. Chief strategist will be Stephen Bannon, the former head of Breitbart. Many in the news media are calling him a white supremacist or white nationalist. And it looks like, according to the AP, Rudy Giuliani is number one in line for the position of Secretary of State. Rudy Giuliani, the favorite to be Trump's Secretary of State, according to the AP.
We're also keeping an eye on a message to Donald Trump and the citizens of the United States from Anonymous. It's going to go off here in about 2 minutes. We have got our fingers on the pulse of that. Don't know what that's going to be, but there's about, a whole bunch of people tuning into that. So
stay with us for our last segment right after this on this Monday edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Final segment of this Monday edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report, where we are taking your calls. It's been a while since we've taken and heard from listeners, and it's always refreshing to hear from our listening audience.
I'm going to jump off real quick, Joe, to hear this.
Okay. You go for it. And he's monitoring a message that apparently Anonymous is putting out in regards to the election, I believe. And we're going to go back and we're going to continue to take calls through this segment. One quick article I want to hit. I found this during the break, and I think this is pretty interesting. Molecules you leave on your phone can reveal intimate lifestyle secrets. This shows you just how high-tech they're getting in the world of detection methods. Intimate details of a person's lifestyle, shopping habits, and health can now be gleaned from the molecules they leave behind on everyday objects, such as smartphones, pens, or keys, scientists have proven. Researchers took swabs from mobile phones of 39 volunteers used in a technique called mass spectrometry to identify individual molecules and compounds on the case and screen. They then compared them to the Global Natural Product Social Molecular Network database, which records the chemical makeup of thousands of products and drugs to reveal a unique profile of each owner. The team was able to tell the sex of the owner, as well as a host of private information, such as whether they were suffering from depression, skin inflammation, or allergies based on medications which were present. They also could tell whether a person preferred wine or beer, and what cosmetics they used, if they dyed their hair or were bald, or if they spent a lot of time outdoors. The Telegraph has this article, and it goes into a lot more, if you eat spicy foods, you were a high-end cosmetic user, all kinds of just interesting things. And it shows you how much germs are just left on phones and other things that we are touching constantly. All right, back to our phone lines. We're going to go to first-time caller Mike in Alaska. Mike, thanks for holding. You are live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Good to talk to you guys. I'm glad you guys took the time to check that Anonymous thing real quick.
That's live right now on YouTube, and we'll be reporting any important information as it is forthcoming.
Right, right. Oh, my bad. Yeah, I wanted to say that, you know, I think people really should be very grateful that Trump is in office, you know? I mean, I think all of us know how stressful it was before, you know, during the elections. I mean, it was, that was pretty dark times, and, you know, mm-hmm. now he's in. And I think it really truly is a movement of God. And, you know, with all the, up here in Alaska, we, you know, it's not, we don't have a lot of the street riots and that kind of stuff, but, I think all that stuff is pretty petty compared to what he's gonna do, you know? With regards to, you know, the stuff about him going to, a dinner with, held by the Jesuits or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, I think that is wise to keep an eye on, the Jesuits, but, you know, he's, I've heard him say many times, he's a businessman, you know? That's pretty much how he addresses that kind of issue. And, you know, he's a businessman. He goes to these dinners, you know, and he's just trying to make money. And, whenever I hear Trump speaking to the American people, you know, I truly think that he's being honest. And with everything that's come against him through all this, you know, he's not gonna have a lot of friends as far as, you know, the way, I mean, a lot of the big money holders are against him. And I think, you know, I think he truly wants to keep America going. And I think it really is a calling from God.
Yeah, I agree with you on a number of issues. One, you know, this being from the Lord, granting us a reprieve of, you know, this encroaching, oppressive government. And if Trump is keeps his word, and if he's able to, you know, complete his agenda, or, you know, put the agenda he wants, he grew up in this nation and the system that governs it helped him become a billionaire, and I think he understands that, you know, the American dream is still attainable under the right leadership and the right policies to go with that leadership. And if he can get the country back on track, I mean, as you said, there's still a lot of big money interest both here domestically and internationally, as well as the money interest as far as, you know, the World Bank, the IMF, the Federal Reserve,
yeah.
that are working against
Everything.
Him. But if he's allowed to continue, you know, to roll back some of the, you know, big government, and, you know, cut the taxes down for the middle class and try to build the middle class back up, we could, you know, definitely see 10 to 20 more years of growth and sustainability before we see
yep.
what we could have seen with a rapid decline with the Hillary Clinton presidency. So it did feel good on election
yeah.
night, as you said.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I like what, you know, Paul McGuire, Pastor David Langford, you know, you guys, too, and I commend you guys, really. You guys, your show has really blessed me in a big way, and you guys are awesome. You guys do a very good job. And to address what Doug, as your dad said, you know, I really do think, like, all his work, all his investigative work, I mean, just everything. And I think people shouldn't forget to say a prayer for Julian Assange, you know. We have to thank him too, and thank God for all of this. You know, I think you're exactly right. I think we are getting a reprieve in a big way, and I think Trump is going to. I think he's going to come through. I don't think anyone can touch him. You know, that was kind of my point about, you know, being in Alaska. I hear lower 48 stuff and. with everything I've been through in my life, like, it's just, you know, I, with my walk with the Lord, you know, I can kind of just, well, it's just my opinion, I guess, people would take it, but, you know, I think he's gonna do a great job. I don't think anybody has anything to worry about. I think he's gonna do a great job. I don't think he'll get harmed, and I think he's gonna, I mean, I think we have a lot of good times in store, and I just want to thank everybody for their prayers, especially all the intercessors, because, you know, sometimes I can't intercede like I should, you know, I try, and I just want to thank all you guys. You know, you guys do a really, really, really good job, and I want to thank you for that.
I want to thank you for the call and for the kind words. We got to move on to other callers, and yeah, definitely got to thank all the people out there, the listening audience, the people who are prayer warriors, the intercessors, and all those who are vigilant in their relationship with the Lord, and you know, also praying for those out there who are trying to make a difference. We certainly do appreciate that. You have a good night, and thank you, Mike. We're going to move on next to.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on next to Tom in Ohio. Tom, you are live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Doug. Thanks for taking my call. And I just repeat what the previous caller said. You guys are doing a great job, and really, really enjoy listening to your show and to your guests. I hope you don't think I'm off in left field, but one of my questions to you is, you know, the Electoral College, they send in their final vote, I believe, December 19th, and there's 9 states that can change their electoral vote. And mm-hmm. I've done some research, but I can't find out what 9 states those are. And I know you and your audience heard Hillary's speech, and as soon as I heard it, I thought, you know, there's something wrong. There's something in the background we don't know about. Do you think it would be possible for those electoral votes, a couple of them, to be changed? Throwing it
maybe a couple, like one or two. And I have seen a story today. I think the Blaze ran a story, and this was picked up on a number of other websites that talked about 2 electoral delegates that are pledged that have to vote along their state's lines, saying that they were not going to follow those instructions and they were going to go on their own. And some are reporting that, you know, the state of Michigan is too close to call still, but others are reporting that it went to Trump, and that gives him 306 delegates compared to Hillary's 236. And I think they came up with a number, 37 delegates would have to unbound themselves from Trump to Hillary. And I just don't see that happening. I don't see that happening.
The states that don't have the laws that bind the electorates to the winner, you've got Arizona, Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, and West Virginia. Okay, now that's...
Those are states that can change?
15 states that Trump won that don't have laws that bind the electorates to the winner. I think there's 19 and then 15 that Trump won. Now, I do remember in the primary in Pennsylvania voting for the voters on the ballot. There was a question, or there was an oath taken by the electorates who said they would vote. Now, this is on the Republican side. If Trump won, they would vote for Trump regardless. Period. End of story. So those electorates in Pennsylvania won. So, but move on. We are change. I'm just trying to think of the other ones. You know what? I don't know, but the Electoral College is, of course, folks, part of the Constitution. There's 538 members, with each state in District of Columbia having one member. or electorate for every senator or House lawmaker. Bottom line is, can it happen? Anything's possible, but I don't see it happening. Not even in my wildest dreams. However, I don't know. But if it does, God help us all.
Yeah, yeah, because I wouldn't put anything past Hillary. And anything is, you know, this election is just one of those that anything is possible. You know, but I was just curious and just wanted to check. And I was hoping that it wouldn't, because I think Trump would do great. I think that we are on the, hopefully, road to where the government is actually for the people and by the people. And again, you guys are doing a great job. And just one more quick thing. Have you picked up on the news media, when the news media talks about the middle class, how they're saying it's the white middle class? Mm-hmm. And of course, the middle class is almost gone anyway, but it's like we're all in this. Why are, you know, stop. To me, it's fueling the fire.
Right. Van Jones' white lash, you know, talking about the Trump win. These are all, yeah, this is all massaging the narrative or the, yeah.
And they're ignoring the fact that Trump couldn't have won without the African-American vote he got or the Latino vote that he did receive. They'll ignore that, you know, completely, and even go so far as to call African-Americans and non-whites as being racist themselves because they voted for Trump. I mean, it's literally insanity at its finest what you see coming out of some of the mainstream pundits' mouths after this election and their results.
Well, thanks a lot, and thanks for taking my call, and God bless.
Hey, man.
God bless you. Thanks for the call, Tom. You have a good night.
You all, too.
All right, we got two callers left. We got about 10 minutes in the show. We got Junior, first-time caller
Junior.
From Kentucky.
Come on, Junior.
Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello, can you hear me?
You can, absolutely.
Good evening, Doug and Joe. I was calling because earlier a lady got on talking about an Asian priest, preacher. He's from Australia, actually. His name is Steve Cocliani. On YouTube, it's Discover Ministries, and he puts out a lot of good videos where they talk about prophecy. And we all know how the prophecy from Isaiah came to pass, how Syria and Damascus is being destroyed. And another interesting one that is about to come to pass is this Sunday. We all know how in Revelation 12 it talks about the woman clothed in the sun with the crowns on her head and the moon at her feet. Well, interestingly enough, this Sunday is when Virgo is going to be essentially impregnated with Jupiter. Jupiter is going to go into Virgo, and it's going to stay there for about 9 months.
I thought that was September 27th was the actual... You know, maybe what you're talking about is the beginning of this astrological cycle, because I know... who's the guy from... is it Omega Shock? I can't remember. The guy we have on who deals with the numbers and the astrology... He hasn't been on in a while.
Daily Crow,
Matt Peterson. He has put together the Daily Crow. Matt Peterson, if you go there, dailycrow.com, he has exactly what you're talking about. And he has the date of September 27th, 2017 as being the exact date when all these things line up. But what you're talking about is we're entering the season where the pieces are being put into place to line up.
Yeah, and very interesting, though,
especially if it's a 9-month cycle.
Junior, I like where you're going with this. Go ahead.
Yes, and another thing, I think it's more than a coincidence. The Catholic, I think it's called the Year of Mercy. It ends on the same day, this Sunday, November 20th.
Now, what you're talking about is what the Pope did last year by saying that the priests were able to give forgiveness.
Dispensation. Yeah.
Very interesting. Did not know that.
Yeah, so it is. Yeah, it's all coming together, and I think we need to pray and keep everyone else in our prayers and hope that our nation turns back to God.
Amen. And that's the only thing we can do. I mean, we can we're nothing without that. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. God bless you, Junior.
Thank you, Doug and Joe, and have a good night.
Thanks,
you
brother.
You too. Thanks for the call.
Love it.
All right. We got one caller left. This is Jeremy in Illinois. Thank you for holding, Jeremy. You're going to be our final caller for this evening.
Says us.
Okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. All right. I come from a delusional state of Illinois. I'm about ready to move because it's so delusional that most of the people around here vote for Hillary. And I went to church yesterday, and the pastor asked for, you know, praises and stuff. I said, I got praise. Trump won. And then she came back with, there shouldn't be no political, there's no political, whatever, in this pulpit.
Wait, I missed that.
There's no political talk in this pulpit.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's right. No political talk in this pulpit, which kind of made me mad. And so I came back, well, that's the reason why this country is being falling apart. So after church, I went up there again and showed her the Patriot Bible I have. It's the Geneva. I think it's right. Geneva 1599. Bible, mm-hmm. And in the very back, it's got all the books of the Holy Bible. In the very back, there's the, what is it called, that? The Constitution, and it's got the Magna Carta, and it's got mm-hmm. the Declaration of Independence, all of them, and guess what? All those were created by Christians. And and it's got the Mayflower Compact in it, too. And this country would not exist if it wasn't for Christians.
I'm with you there.
Yeah,
that's
not,
right.
Not in the capacity and the way that it is.
Yeah, existed. Muslims didn't found this country. Sorry. Didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how she can get up there and say, no political talk allowed in this pulpit. If it wasn't for us, this country wouldn't exist.
It's a 501c3 thing.
Magna Carta.
Right.
Yeah, I know, but, yeah.
You could be.
It's a country church.
Well. Hey, you know what? The 501c3 ruling, the myth that it is, but the effect of I understand why. I don't agree with it, but I understand why that pastor said what that pastor said. Don't agree with it one bit, but I understand it. And I understand what you said, and I agree with you, but, yeah. But look what the IRS is doing with the Tea Party people. Just kind of in a parallel conversation here. I don't know whether people caught this today, but the IRS denied a whole bunch of Tea Party petitions or Tea Party 501c4, I believe it is, their tax exempt status for PACs or not PACs, but for tax exempt. Organizations. So there's a war right now, but you were right mm-hmm. to do what you did. You were right. You know what? Find a different church if you can.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And I heard of one church around here, but kind of been there. I guess I should go see, check them out. If not, I'm going to move out of this stupid state, this delusional, retarded state.
it's almost, where are you going to go? I mean, not that I would discourage you, because I get it. I certainly would never live in New York City. I certainly would never live in San Francisco. But there comes a point in time when, you know, changing scenery does not necessarily change conditions. But I get where you're coming
from. Yeah, I know. Texas, but then I'd have to have a lot of guns because they'll be pretty close to the border.
my friend, you're breaking up quite a bit. We're going to cut you loose. I can't drop him.
Jeremy, thank you so much for the call.
Yeah.
We appreciate you holding and your input.
Wow.
And we're just about at the end of the show.
Yeah, so. But you know what, though? Look, Joe and folks, I guess we just have to keep fighting for, by the way, and like I've got ADD here. The anonymous message was, I thought I was listening to like a Republican National Convention speech. We've got to unite, come together. I mean, it was a good message, for anonymous saying, basically we're the United States. We should unite. Obama promised hope and change, didn't quite work, ended up, you know, falling into that same old globalist stuff. And remember who you are. I mean, in a nutshell. And at one point there was 220,000 people tuned in.
That's amazing.
And I think, when I dropped off, there was 101,000. So the message apparently didn't resonate or was not like, you know, popular amongst whoever might have been plugged in. But it just seemed like a pip pip cheerio. Okay.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Anyway, you know what I mean? It was kind of an uplifting, message, or at least it seemed that way. So.
Well, we covered a lot of ground tonight. And, again, folks, keep your eyes open for anti-Trump protests, and you know there's people that are taken to the highways and getting hit by cars now, and we also see the gathering of what is being called dark money groups, building up a resistance in the far left, planning the biggest political protest in the United States inauguration history. In his appointments.
Do you think,
what
folks,
Savage said about his appointments, Rens Priebus,
right,
and Steve Bannon, and it looks like Rudy Giuliani's going to get the Secretary of State, and they're also saying Michael Bolton is in line for that position.
The singer?
No. You remember Michael Bolton. He was part of the Bush 9/11 deal.
Well, look, we're just going to have to keep our eyes on things. You know, I don't know what else to say except to say that one man cannot change necessarily.
Right. And like you said, there's a learning curve, I'm sure, especially not being a career politician, being thrust into an environment where is probably mostly just evil on any side that you're on.
Yeah.
And if he is just the businessman he claims to be, then, you know, he's hearing a lot of people trying to influence not only him, but his presidency and the agenda that the presidency takes on. So there's going to be people like the Bushes and the Soros is trying to gain backdoor, underhanded influence, as well as, you know, those who want more selfish or personal gains trying to persuade him to, you know, give them things like positions of power or whatever it might be. So, I mean, he's got a long road ahead. We still have 2 months before he is inaugurated president. So I think we can't really,
judge
his administration until he starts implementing his policies as sole president after the inauguration.
And who knows? He might end up wrestling, you know, Priebus and saying, no, you're going to do this my way. I mean,
And things about the Affordable Health Care Act, there's a lot of people saying, oh, he's not going to repeal it. He doesn't have to repeal it. What he has to do is just change certain provisions in it. You know, the provisions that makes it mandatory and the ones that scare away insurance companies and jack up the premiums. There are some things in there that Dave Hodges mentioned last night on the show when I was on with him that should be kept, the pre-existing condition.
Damage has already been done to the economy. We need to fix that, the 20% of the economy. Plus, it's a horrible thing. But, many things. I don't know. But, folks, watch HagmanReport.com tomorrow morning. Follow us on social networking tomorrow night, first hour. Steve Quayle, Tim Alberino, and then programming is going to be great.
Yeah, we got great programming for the rest of the week.
Thank you, Global
Next 2 weeks.
Thank you.
And think a week from Thursday is Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Coming up quick, the holidays. we'll be here before you know it, and then we will be looking at the new year. People in New Zealand and in the chain of islands, obviously you guys are in our prayers. Keep your one eye open, the way things are looking with these aftershocks and the supermoon, and Stan will be on to give his opinion tomorrow of what we were seeing in New Zealand, because this was not just a regular earthquake. This was a special kind of quake, apparently, and was very big, caused a small tsunami. And then check out HagmanReport.com. Greg Jackson wrote a great piece, the first and most important decision, the first and most important thing Trump must do in day one in office. Make sure you check that out as well. All right, that'll do it for us tonight. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. We'll be back with Steve Quayle and Tim Alberino in Hour 1.